in front of you, people on
the table.
I was not prepared.
Welcome to the Pinstripe Alley Bible Podcast. Are we still Pinstripe Bible? For now. But anyway, the important thing is we still have a podcast, and we're back. I am your host, Greg Kirkland, formerly known as I'm Giving You a Raise. With me are my co-hosts, Tanya, Jason, and Andrew. Welcome back, guys and gal.
Sup.
Sup. That's all we've got.
Hey.
Hey. Andrew, do you have anything?
Hello.
Oh, you have a new mic. All right.
I do. I am not on crappy netbook speakers anymore.
Bravo.
Moving up in the world.
Hey, the Yankees won tonight.
Yay.
Not only did they win, they scored runs. Like a lot. Of them.
It was like hysterical at the end.
Twins.
The Twins should probably just fold.
They should probably give their stadium away to the Athletics.
Contract the Twins. You allowed 10 runs to this scrub squad.
David Adams in the lineup.
Well, they got him out. They got him out.
Yeah.
They were able to get him out. But everyone else, did Chris Stewart get a hit? Probably not.
He had a bases loaded.
That's
as good as a hit for Chris Stewart.
David Adams literally did nothing the entire game. He, just existed.
Did he call a good game? No, wait, that's pitchers.
Not that I'm aware of.
Can he frame the pitch?
Might be able to frame a picture.
I mean, I really hate to hate on David Adams because I really want him to do well, but...
He's so bad.
He's just not.
He's just not good at all.
0 for 5.
He has some spark on defense, but his offense is worse than, Reed Brignac.
He's overmatched really, really badly. I mean, he just looks like he has nothing for major league pitching right now.
But the awkward thing is that there's no one to really replace him right now until A-Rod comes
back. Yeah, there
really
isn't.
We should bring that up. You know, A-Rod resuming minor league activities at, you're near Charleston, right, Waffles?
I'm not that close.
I say, you gonna go see him?
That's still probably about 5-6 hours
from here. So you're not gonna take that drive to see A-Rod rehab?
I'll pass.
All right.
I do want a beer milkshake, though. Might be worth it for that.
There you go. See, beer milkshake and 3 innings of A-Rod trying to hobble his way back to the majors.
Yay.
And Cito Cole.
We could really use him right
now. Oh, God.
Oh,
Cito Put him at third. Put him at third.
Is that even an option?
No.
Okay, just making sure about that.
He would hit worse than Adams.
Is that possible?
Yes.
mathematically?
Yes.
Call up moves Gilo right now.
Someone somewhere doesn't think this is that bad of an idea.
Gilo should be playing in the majors.
Someone somewhere.
Someone.
He's got the moves like Jagala.
I love that, by the way. I don't even like the song, but I just like that nickname.
How do you not like the song? The song is awesome. Especially the video, because it's just got people trying to dance like Mick Jagger and badly. It is no One More Night, though.
I don't know what any of these things are.
Waffles knows my feelings towards the opening of that song and how it really sounds like a monkey's just singing it.
I do.
So, yeah, we're not hitting.
No.
Except
tonight.
Well, no. We kind of hit, and then the Twins just threw the ball around everywhere.
Twins gonna Twins.
Twins gonna Twins. Ryan Domet gonna Ryan Domet.
It's his eyes. It's his eyes.
The Ryan Domet eyes don't pick up the ball.
They're too, recessed into his head.
All that black demon-y ooze in there.
Oh, God.
And if any of you watch the show Supernatural, it looks like his eyes are possessed by a demon. Anyway, back to the Yankees and enough of my nerd stuff.
CeCe Sabathia.
Yeah, let's talk about CeCe. What's wrong?
He sucks.
Okay, analysis.
He's getting angry and he becomes a bear. And then that apparently makes it all good because he's terrible right now. he was pitching a no-hitter and then he was like, you know what, nah. I'm going to give that up. I'm going to give up the game. And then I'm going to turn into a bear. But still, at the end of the day, he's not getting the job done. So I don't care how emotional he gets, how angry he gets, and how frustrated and how much he wants to fix or do good things. He's not.
To be fair, two of those hits didn't hardly clear the pitcher's mound. And David Adams, one of them. But, you know, he has to do better, and he can't turn around and give up a home run to Nate McLouth after the team scores him runs. It's, he's supposed to be better than that.
Especially when McLouth is lefty-lefty, you kind of expect your lefty ace to be able to get that out. But
maybe he needs an infusion of Captain Crunch.
Oh, yeah. Dump truck.
Of Captain Crunch?
Of Captain Crunch.
Yeah, that was what made him fat, and that was what he stopped eating to get skinny, and
I don't know.
Everybody
why.
Knows skinny CC sucks.
Yeah, everyone but the Yankees, apparently. They're like, no, CC, you gotta be healthy. You can't be fat. And then he's, like, terrible.
And then he gains weight, and he's good to
weight.
Go.
He's awesome.
That's I think he might happen. Be a stress eater. He, like, gets pissed off that he's not doing well and starts, like, chugging Captain Crunch, and then he's good again.
Fixed.
Done.
Maybe we'll try a new method. Just encrust his steak or chicken with, like, Captain Crunch as the breading. And see how that works.
Why don't we just let him ingest Jabba Chamberlain?
Hey, he wasn't awful tonight.
Trade him.
That would be like the fattest man. If CC ate Jabba,
he would be Mike Zagorski. That's what that makes.
Like that would register on the Richter scale. It would.
Especially if he turned into a bear.
Yes, a giant CC Jabba bear.
But it would solve the Jabba problem, so I'm not entirely against it.
Yeah,
you know, this would make a great like Saturday Night Sci-Fi Channel movie.
Oh, it probably already is.
CC in his natural habitat eating Jabba,
and then turns into a bear and attacks humanity.
Oh no! And then Zoilo has to save us all.
Yes,
Super Zoilo.
I love Zoilo. I love him. I mean, besides the classic name puns, which don't get old, I could post that Zoro gif forever. But what I really love is it's not even that. He's hitting well, but he's patient at the plate. Like, he shows signs of being a major leaguer. And I really don't want to jinx it or ruin my love of him by him sucking after we do this podcast, but he looks like he's approaching the plate, ball, whatever, really well.
He's no Puig or anything, but like,
who is?
But I was told he was. I was told that he was.
He was our Puig. He's our Puig. They both come from the same geographical location, kind of.
Kind of.
But he actually looks like he's could be a serviceable major leaguer, which is not something you could say a lot about Yankee prospects.
Come on.
So, not something David you could Adams say about David Adams.
Killing it at third base.
He's
killing it.
He's killing it, all right.
He's killing me. Something. Every time he flails away at the plate, he kills me a little bit.
I had so much hope for him.
He's worse than Nick's. When you say, like, oh my god, this guy is on base, and it's like, oh, Nick's? It's like even worse when it's like, oh, David Adams. It's like, you know, not even a hope.
At least David Adams hasn't had the RBI Nick's curse thrown upon him yet.
At least Nick's will maybe, like, ground into a double play and score a run. David Adams, what, go to sleep.
Has Sterling or Waldman been praising Adams?
Not yet.
I wouldn't know.
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Does he do something every game?
No, I think he exists.
To do that, they would have to stop praising Knicks, and I don't think they're willing to do that.
That's possible. He's not going to praise himself.
Also, let's talk about the fact that Andy Pettit is old and really bad.
I'm officially worried.
Yeah.
I had kind of chalked it up to just a rough patch, but, I mean, it was the Twins, and ugh.
Yeah, you expect Andy Pettit to do well.
I mean, it's one of those thoughts you don't want to entertain, but you kind of have to, but do they let him go after the trade season or during the trade season?
Oh, God. They, like, just dropped him?
They find some kind of injury for him.
Shoulder fatigue.
The other day, I don't know if it was on the Fox broadcast, or I think it might have been, but one of the announcers was basically just like, yeah, Andy Pettit's not going to pitch all this year. And it wasn't because he was bad, but it was just like, he's old, he's not going to pitch all this year. They'll send him to the DL. Well, so they might want to think about doing that.
Since coming back from the disabled list, he has a 4.83 ERA, and he has a .295 batting average against him. So he's been poor.
And he could only pitch well against the Mariners in Seattle, which is not really that much to be bragging about.
Pettit.
It's so sad to see. I'm just so used to him pitching well and Pettit-like.
But at the same time, you know, I think Andrew brought this up today. Hughes, Nova, and Phelps are worse. So,
yay.
What do you do?
And we're talking about how bad CeCe is. So, There's Hirok and the rest.
Everyone's terrible.
Except Kuroda.
So, hopefully Pineda's ready soon.
Yeah. Adam Warren.
He hasn't pitched in...
He alive?
Forever.
Forever.
I'm not sure that he's alive. I can't confirm.
Here's a wild idea. Start Warren and bring up Dellin Betances for the bullpen.
Yeah. Dellin.
He's been good. I mean, I didn't think it would work.
Legitimately good.
I didn't think it would work.
Weird good, but legitimately decent.
Yeah, it's been weird.
I think it's weird for him, too. He doesn't know what it's like.
What is this success thing?
What am I feeling?
Wait a minute. Runs don't have to score off of me. Yes! All yes, this feelings. Works!
All these feelings. Is that strange joy? Feelings I'm feeling.
Are those cheers I hear?
His ERA shrunk 3 runs that day.
Trying to think of an adequate How the Grinch Stole Christmas quote, and I just can't think of it.
That's what I just did!
I know, I was trying to think of a response to it.
Since being moved into the bullpen, he has a 260 ERA. People are batting 175 against him. He's got 32 strikeouts in 27.2 innings.
The only thing that concerned me about him, his control has seemed better, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that seemed impossible to do.
Yeah, but to say, because that's, you know, he can do stuff like that, but it's when his control is just so flaky.
It wasn't like his problem was the second time through the order, the third time through the order, which is usually what happens when they move someone from the rotation to the bullpen because, well, hey, you can get guys out the first time, just not after that. His problem was just kind of pitching in general.
That's a pretty serious problem.
So I didn't think it was going to work.
And that it's shown just in June, like when the rotation struggles, and it has struggled, we don't win.
Days like these are very rare when they score more than 3 or 4 runs, sadly.
Well, thanks, Twins.
They scored 10. Can we just, like, discuss that? Did we score 10 in June?
No.
At all?
No, I don't think
like,
so.
Collectively?
I'm pretty sure it was 2 runs in June.
That's what it felt like.
That was it.
It felt like 2, almost.
Wasn't that like the worst month the Yankees have had in like 13 years? Yes.
I think someone said since like 1992. Ugh. And I remember those years, youngins. Those were awful, awful years.
I don't think it was exactly that. It was the worst single month they've had since April 2007 when they were really struggling out of the gate that year when everyone was out of shape and getting injured and broken. And
no.
the other time was... The last June that they really struggled was in 2000, which is when they were, like, falling apart. And then they were like, hey, let's trade for David Justice. That's a good idea. It'd be nice if they'd do that. Get David Justice now.
So let's trade for David Justice.
Yeah.
Like now?
He would fit in.
Isn't he doing Yankees on Deck or something? On Yes?
Then he's not doing anything important. Put him in the lineup.
Put him on the mound.
Paul O'Neill back out there.
Paul O'Neill hit the wall on a line drive, so...
David Adams can't do that.
That's better than what David Adams said.
How did he hit home runs? He hit home runs when he came up. How did he do that?
That is
science.
He's on steroids.
But really, somebody's been keeping track of Jason Nix's fly balls that have gone to the warning track this year. And on the fly or on the roll, he has like less than 10.
Yay.
It's bad.
I say we answer one of the questions from our tweet bag. And yes, I will be calling it that, because we don't really have a mailbag, but we have Twitter.
Someone asked, are the Yankees going to get a bat or an arm?
It better be a bat.
I would say it has to be a bat at this point.
I would hope so.
I'd like to get a player that has arms that can hold a bat.
Arms are essential in swinging bats, last I checked.
But, I mean, if it's coming down to one, I'd probably prefer the bat.
Seriously, it has to be a bat at this point. I mean, as bad as our pitching is, there's at least a chance that they'll improve. But
Maybe.
We're doomed. Yeah, they have no offense, despite the 10-run. 10 runs? That really
that was an accident.
It is the Twins.
It was the Twins. The Twins, like, threw away the ball, like, 8 times. Like, that whole ninth inning thing was, like, what is this?
In June, Jason Nix OPS'd 593.
Yay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just gonna put that out there. He also struck out 24 times.
That probably led the team, right?
I don't know.
You would think Adams would lead the team in strikeouts right now.
He had a negative .523 WPA.
That's some bad math right there.
Whoa.
Why you gotta watch the games?
You gotta watch the games to know that he actually looks much worse.
That don't tell you everything. Which one of you could strike out David Adams on the fewest pitches from Joseph Lynn? I could. Well,
I'm a lefty, so...
I am also a lefty.
I'm a right-hander. So,
thank you. All right. Good.
But I'm the shortest, so I probably have, like, the most...
No advantage.
No. I could get the ball really low in the zone, and he would just swing over it every time.
I think we're obligated to say yes because, you know, she runs the site and has the power to fire us. So, yeah, I'll say Tanya.
Yes.
Strike out.
I will definitely fire you.
It is very beneficial to get the ball low into the zone.
Yeah.
Exactly. Throw it into the dirt, probably chase after it.
Exactly. I'm glad
there you go.
That
all
you
right,
guys,
all right.
I'm glad that you guys understand.
So, Joe, the but answer is Tanya.
By default.
By fear of firing. Or more cannoning.
It's also the answer to, are the Yankees going to acquire a bat or arm? The answer is actually, tell Tanya.
Sign her up. Lefty.
Ah, Gardner, he's still hitting. I'm so happy.
He is.
He's doing so well this season. It just makes me smile.
Could be an all-star if Jim Leland thinks so.
I think so.
He probably won't be, though.
He probably won't be, but...
Maybe he's actually hitting enough where he can actually get a gold glove.
Hmm. Nah.
Obviously, that's the important criteria for defense.
Yeah. Well, Alex Gordon.
Dingers.
You're going just by batting average. Up to 288 now. That's almost 300. Batting average.
Speaking of dingers, Cano hit a couple tonight. Boy, that was nice to see.
Yeah, he's heating up, I think, which is a good sign, but...
Let's trade
bad.
Him.
Right now.
Right now.
For his, prospects.
His trade value will never
trade
be...
for prospects.
I'm sure lots of teams out there are clamoring for a really, really soon-to-be expensive rental for good prospects.
Yeah, just give up, you know, Profar, Alt, and...
Moreland.
Cano is way too much for those guys. You're thinking way too high. Thinking like Jabba and Hughes.
Oh, and Nunez. Don't forget Nunez.
Get Nunez in there.
The Triforce of trades right there.
We'll throw Roman in because we're really generous.
Well, no, there was definitely a really good comment today about rebuilding and how rebuilding rarely works.
I think that was Let's Talk About Text Baby.
You got it.
Whose name I love saying out loud, I won't lie.
Yeah, but he like completely nailed the point of like, you know, people think that like we'll trade off our pieces and then like the next Derek Jeter will be magically in the system. And, like, we'll all of a sudden have, you know, Derek Jeter, Manny Machado, and, like, Bryce Harper in the system. And that's not how it works.
No,
that's
I mean...
not really what happens.
All you have to do is look across the Triborough Bridge to the Mets. They've been rebuilding for the past, I don't know, since 2008, 2009. And look where they are. I mean...
They're worse.
They're worse, and except, you know, they've got good pitching prospects. But I don't even know if that's enough at this point. They got
they've
the guy...
Harvey.
Yeah, Matt Harvey, Zach Wheeler, but, I mean, he got rocked. But that's, you know, I'll attribute that to a rookie start. That can still be, you know, improved
sure, yeah,
upon.
Yeah.
And then they got the catcher from Toronto, and then that's it, really. I mean, who else do they really have coming up that's going to put them over the edge?
Mike Davis.
Oof. That's a tragedy right there. You know, teams have been in rebuilding mode for years. Years. And to expect the Yankees to just... fire sale their, you know, their stars or whoever, rebuild, and that suddenly in a year
next
or two
year.
They're magically going to be good again is laughable.
Yeah, I mean, let's face it. The thing is that, like, yes, we all don't want to overpay Cano, but if the Yankees want to compete for the next couple of years, they are going to have to give him lots of money.
As I said in my post, it's like, the best you can do is hope. I don't care about the money. Hope at this point it's at least 7 to 8 years. If with seven
oh,
to
yeah.
8 years and overpaying him, you know, just sweep it under the bed and it's like, all right,
yeah,
you know, it's your fault for not extending his contract like most sensible teams do
yeah.
nowadays.
Learn from this mistake and do something different next time, which they probably will never learn, but you just hope they do.
Yeah.
I think what a lot of people say is, I'm willing to suffer through a couple of lean years to rebuild. And I think what point they are missing is that it might not be a couple of lean years. It might be a decade of lean years.
Terrible years.
Because I was talking to my friend who writes for the Orioles site, and they were talking about how when they were rebuilding, all of their hopes and dreams were pinned on this core of pitching prospects, Jake Arrieta, Brian Mattis, Chris Tillman, and none of those guys have really worked out to be what they, you know, place all their hopes and dreams on. Obviously, they are, you know, getting back to a place that is good, but that's because they tanked for so long and got Machado, who, you know, shot up through the system.
He's incredible.
They lucked into, you know, a resurgent year from Nate McLaughlin and Chris Davis. Rebuilding, you don't just snap your fingers and in 2 years you're good again. You know, the Mariners have been rebuilding forever, and they're still not good.
Look at the Pirates. I mean, they're, you know, they lead the NL right now, but look how long it took them to get there. That's what the thing people are forgetting. Like you said, it's not just a two-year deal. Like, even the Red Sox, you know, yeah, they fire-sailed their team, and while they're doing much better than expected this year, they're still only, like, an injury or two away from being mediocre again. It, you know, these things take time.
Well, look at the Royals.
Yeah, I was just about to say,
Royals. They're rebuilding. Hosmer, Mustakis, they're terrible.
Yeah.
But, I mean, exactly. I try not to mention the Royals because they have, you know, GMDM.
Yeah, sure.
But, yeah, exactly. I mean,
And the Mariners have
Jack Zirenzik.
Zirenzik.
That's how you pronounce that.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he's awful. I don't understand what he's done to keep him in his position, besides, you know, frantically calling up Mike Zunino. You know, things like that. Like, there are teams that are obviously hurt by poor management and GMing and whatnot. But, like, for the most part, rebuilding does not work like the way people think it does.
Look at the Cleveland Indians. Their GM is Mark Shapiro, who's under contract for a really long time. But since they were really good in the late 90s and 2001, they've won the division 1 year, 2007. And that was the only time in the entire Shapiro reign that they've actually really been good and in the playoff race, other than maybe 1 or 2 years of competitiveness. I mean, it's just such a crapshoot.
Yeah. I wonder if it has anything to do with Moneyball and just got the idea in these fans' heads that, you know, Billy Bean can magically just reproduce a team from scraps.
Well, I think that everyone wants to believe that every prospect is going to work out and, you know, rebuilding is going to be just a step toward the next dynasty and all that. And, you know, it's nice to dream on that, but that's not reality. And trading off Cano and Granderson and CeCe and whoever else, that might get you a couple pieces, but there's no guarantee at all that those pieces turn out. Top prospects fail all the time. Justin Smoke was traded for Cliff Lee, and now he is one of the worst hitters in the league. Top prospects, just, they're as much of a crapshoot as anything else. And I think people just want so badly to believe that it's like a foolproof plan, and it's just really not a foolproof plan, because you start rebuilding and then you end up rebuilding for the next
decade.
Look at the Rays. Like, yeah, they're good now, but like,
what did they have to go through to get there?
They went through 10 years. They muddied their franchise. They had to change their team name because they were so associated with terribleness. To
they
actually
still have no fans.
They have problems with that, and still have nothing to show for it. They've been to the World Series once, and you know, yes, they have like some of the greatest young players and stuff. And everyone's always like, why can't we get a David Price?
You like, have well, to tank to get a
you
David
have to tank
Price
for years before one of your first round draft picks pans out.
Like, we got Jeter because we were so bad in the late 80s, early 90s.
Exactly.
And like, you have to get you have to get lucky, not just bad. You have to get lucky and bad. And that's got a lot of terribleness and unluckiness involved with it as well.
Sweeney Murdy replied to someone on Twitter the other day that was like, oh, why don't the Yankees have a Machado? He's like, the year that the Orioles drafted Manny Machado, number 3rd overall, the Yankees were busy winning the World Series.
I'll take that trade-off.
Yeah.
I think what a lot of people, like I like to point out, since I don't do the stats, I think a lot of people are just forgetting the business angle of all of this. What keeps the Yankee fans coming to the stadium is the promise that they're going to make the postseason every year.
Yeah.
If they start claiming to their fans, you know, going through the WFANs or ESPNs or all the New York sports media that, oh, we're going to rebuild this year, people are going to stop coming to the game. I mean, you look at it now, they're still somewhat competitive, and the stadium has been emptier than it's been in a long time. It's expensive. It takes a lot out of the game to go, and people are just going to stop coming, and that's the one thing the Yankees don't want. That's their cash right there.
Yeah, you look at old clips of Yankee Stadium from the late 80s, even into 1996. There are many games within these old highlight films where there are just huge sections of the stands empty. When Don Mattingly hit his sixth grand slam, like record-setting in 1987, there was no one in the upper deck.
Oh, I know. I was there. I remember that. This was before your time, you young whippersnappers. But, I mean... But yeah, I was in the stadiums, and mind you, and that's what I posted today, is like the only benefit of the Yankees going back to a rebuilding year is that I could probably finally just get a seat wherever I wanted at a game like I used to be able to do. And that's not a trade-off I'm willing to make.
I was talking about this last night. Rebuilding is also not something I trust the Yankees to do, because say they sold off all of their pieces and tanked the rest of this year, and they saw the attendance drop even further. They're going to make a panic move over the offseason, and we're going to see another 2-year deal for the next Ichiro, or, you know, $12 million for the next Kevin Youkilis. And it's going to undo exactly what people tried to get them away from with this whole let's rebuild thing. And that's not worth it, because you're just going to compound the problem even further, and then you can't say, well, yeah, we have Ichiro for 2 years, but we also have Robinson Cano. It's like, we don't have anything, and we have these guys.
David Adams.
Yeah.
Think about this. The Yankees are obviously, their core is falling apart. They're kind of heading towards the end of everything they've built towards, because everyone's getting old. The next year or two is like their last chance to really do something. And it's like, do the Yankees go for it in the last couple of years? Say they can't compete this year. Do they sell off their soon-to-be free agent parts and try to get some new talent in there wherever it can? Because right now, the Yankees don't really have much of a plan. It's kind of a patchwork operation going on. It's been going like that for a couple of years now. They're just kind of filling holes where, like, someone gets old, well, stick some guy in there. Kevin Youkilis, Andy Pettit. It's not like, let's extend our good young players. Cano, Gardner, whoever. It's kind of just, let's just keep going and see how this goes and see how much longer we can keep this going. Once that window closes, there's not going to be anything left. Jeter's going to be gone. Pettit's gone. Everyone that was good is kind of going to be gone by that point. And it's like, you have Cano, and do we have really anybody else that can, like, kind of form a core group of players? All of our outfield prospects have kind of been mediocre this season. You know, our prospects are not infallible.
The core of Zoilo, Cano, Gardner, and throw a name in there. Preston Claiborne.
There you go.
David Robertson.
Gardner's going to be a free agent in, like,
year. Worries me, because for 2014, both Gardner and David Robertson are free agent. And if the Yankees don't get their asses in gear and extend them even before 2014, they're going to be in trouble.
It's not happening. They're not going to extend anybody.
They need to move on from that policy.
Team policy. I don't know who put that in place, but it's the worst idea ever. The game has changed, and it's passing them by, and they're not noticing it. Or they're noticing it, and they're being ignorant of it, or, you know, stubborn and refusing to change because, you know, they're the Yankees, and they can kind of eat a contract if they need to, like Vernon Wells.
They're just being jerk stores.
Pretty much, yeah.
Well, I think the problem is that the Yankees for a long time were one of the only teams who could give big-name free agents everything they wanted or absorb a contract for a player like A-Rod that another team couldn't afford. And that's not the case anymore. You know, there are teams with money that are willing to throw it around just as much as the Yankees are, and they're not, you know, the big kid on the playground anymore who can just, you know, throw money at whatever, because look who's hitting the free agent market. Those names that the Yankees could hold out for and throw the money at, they're not hitting free agency anymore, or if they are hitting free agency, it's at 35 years old. The Yankees desperately need to adjust to that, because the good players that they once held out for in free agency are not going to be hitting the open market anymore, and they're not going to be able to solve their problems by writing a check anymore. The Dodgers just signed a huge TV deal, or are on the verge of signing a huge TV deal. They're going to have even more money than they already have. You know, they're not alone. So the Yankees, they're not going to be able to just supplement with their checkbooks anymore. And they need to figure out what that means for the future as far as, you know, their own players, not just players from other teams that they can snatch up later.
Oh, I guess we should talk about the trade deadline coming, or trade season's coming up.
Yay.
Get a bat, get a bat, get a bat.
Yeah. Get something. I don't know.
Michael Young?
No.
I would like the Yankees to get something that will help them for more than this one season, because I think that'll be worthwhile in the long run.
I'd like them to get something that won't suck.
Exactly, exactly. If it would take them an extra prospect or two, it might be worthwhile to get someone that's under contract for at least another year or two from a team that's selling. I don't have anybody for example.
Stanton, can we get it?
Stanton, can we just give them all of our prospects?
Do you agree?
Do you agree?
Oh, I agree.
One would think it wouldn't even take all that much to get him, just because, I mean, the Marlins need pretty much everything.
But if they sell Stanton, nobody's coming to see them anymore.
They've closed the upper deck. Pretty much that ship has sailed. No one's going anyway.
They'll never be able to light up the thing again.
Light that
They're
thing
not lighting
up.
It up now.
No.
I hate Marlins broadcasting.
Can we
trade for Stanton if we get the home run monstrosity?
No, not worth it.
I would allow them to put it in center field if it meant that Stanton could play in right field.
Replace Monument Park with that monstrosity.
I would do it in a heartbeat.
Trade John Sterling.
If it meant Stanton would be on the Yankees for until he's like dead, I would absolutely do it.
And just to throw this out there, Phil Hughes would probably do really well in that monstrosity of a pitcher's
ball. Yeah, because that ball would hit the freaking monument every time.
I don't know if it'd go that far. I mean, Hughes
Oh, no. Please. He managed to give up a home run to City Field. He could find a home run anywhere.
Yeah, but they moved the fences in. Listen, don't crush my dreams. We can get rid of Hughes, Jabba, and Nunez, and get Giancarlo Stanton.
Yeah, get Stanton right there.
Yeah. So
I agree.
I would say Chase... no, not Chase Utley.
Ugh, no.
Chase Headley. He's been bad this year.
Yeah.
And people are not realizing that. He's been bad.
Here's the thing. Are you buying low and, like, thinking that he's going to return to what he was last year? Or are you buying on the hope that he is what he was last year and this is really who he is? And then you just gave away probably two top prospects for that guy.
Well, the Padres are not going to trade him when he's terrible. So that's probably out the window.
Padres are also, like, in the race this year, kind of. Because the NL West is
true.
Everyone's in that race.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is quite a division. But Gene Segura, can we get it?
It's like the opposite of the AL East. I think it's almost everyone's under 500 in that division, yet it's still
The Diamondbacks are two games over 500 and in first place. The Rockies are half a game behind 500.
So you know one of those teams is going to win the World Series.
Yeah.
Oh,
it'd be funny if the Padres won.
They've never won.
I'd laugh.
Yeah, I mean, someone mentioned, like, DeNorfi or Blanks as a possibility.
DeNorfi is a good player. I think they should look into getting him. Because he's an outfielder. I feel like they could probably get him. Blanks, I think, is under team control for a bit longer. So I think he's more of a long shot. But DeNorfi is only under contract, I'm pretty sure, through next year or the year after. It fulfilled the goal of trying to get someone for the, like, not just this year, but for the next year or two as well.
There you go.
The only problem is we have Vernon Wells and Ichiro for another year.
I can't imagine that they would allow Vernon Wells to exist on this roster for the remainder of those 2 years. He's been so bad that, like, they're going to have to eat. I wouldn't be surprised. Actually, I would be really surprised, but I could see it happening if they might cut him this year. I think that because I don't know exactly how the deal worked out with the Angels, but I heard that they're paying like almost nothing for him next year.
Yeah.
I think they would cut him at the end of the year, like get rid of him. If he's this bad for the rest of the year, I think they would just launch him out of a cannon.
Or red wedding him.
Red wedding him. That would be preferred.
That would be more entertaining.
I'd watch that.
Who would be Bruce Bolton?
Me.
I kind of want Michael Morse.
Yeah, I would go with Michael Morse.
I would not be opposed to Michael Morse either.
Yeah, he's been good, and it's the Mariners, so they probably wouldn't take much.
I mean, he's broken, Michael.
Just some really bad catching. Well,
we've had some good dealings or interesting dealings with them before, so
he's frequently broken.
It's possible.
We could just trade them Jesus Montero.
What?
I don't know that we have another really good top prospect that they want that will inevitably be terrible.
Well, no, they'll be terrible because they're on the Mariners. That's true. All their top prospects are terrible.
They did want David Adams back in 2010.
I think that ship has sailed.
That could have been Cliff Lee right there.
Ew.
I think that's twice now Tanya has almost projectile vomited during this podcast.
I am not a fan of Cliff Lee. Not because he's not a good pitcher, because he is, but he's just a douche. And I think it's...
Hey, if it was Cliff Lee on the Yankees, I'd be okay with his douchery. I'd embrace it.
Right, exactly. But I didn't want to give up Montero to get him. And, well, obviously that's hindsight because, like, Montero is terrible. But I think it's hilarious every single day that when he picked the Phillies over the Yankees, he was like, yeah, I just feel like this is the younger team and they're going to give me the best chance to win.
Yep.
And it's like, LOL at you.
Because Michael Young's on the team now. Yeah, the Phillies have a lot of pieces that the Yankees could conceivably use.
Stop saying Michael Young, damn you.
I was going to say Chase Utley.
No.
Chase Utley's been good.
Where are we going to play him?
First.
Base.
DH.
Maybe it would make him shave that douche thing that he's got.
Yeah, that would be nice. I think that would be worth it.
We've been throwing around the douche word quite a bit tonight.
It's basically it's the equivalent of getting Brian Wilson just so he shaves his beard and then releasing him.
Darnell McDonald is someone crying right now.
But there are some pieces that the Yankees...
With his bag of hair.
But Bruno Amaro is convinced that he has a good team.
I could have sworn you just said Bruno Mars.
Maybe I did. Maybe Bruno Mars is the Phillies GM. But he's convinced that they have a good team. And Delmon Young is their starting right fielder. So that's how off-base he is. Because they're like below 500. They're terrible.
Ryan Howard
is terrible.
That contract. Oof.
Remember when people thought that GM was better than Cashman? Like, people were like, he's the best GM in baseball. It was, like, right after Cliff Lee signed with them.
There are a lot of people who think certain GMs are better than Cashman, who I'm convinced don't watch baseball or other teams.
Well, people are obsessed with Billy Bean. It's just like,
I definitely felt that way before, like, he put together this team now. It's, like, one of the best teams in baseball.
Yeah, now. But
now,
like...
they are. Before that, for years and years, they were pretty bad.
It's like, okay, sure, Moneyball, fun, it's a movie, but...
Yeah, well, the thing about Moneyball is they forget that they had, like, the best pitching in the league. It's like, oh no, poor us, we're so poor. What are we going to do with all these hitters? They can't hit. And it's like, oh, wait, we have the best pitchers ever.
Right, we have Tim Hudson, Verdito, and Mark.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Like, oh no.
But they had so much fun.
And they could make a difference.
And they had Hatterberg.
Although I did love Philip Seymour Hoffman as Howe.
And just
portrayed him in that lazy douche manager way. And then the Mets signed him.
And then Art Howe was like, hey, that's not what I did.
And then Art Howe came to the Mets and, well, yeah.
Yay.
He took over for Bobby Valentine and somehow made it worse.
Which is pretty impressive. Although, again, I blame the Mets' troubles back then more on Steve Phillips than I do Bobby Valentine.
Oh, God. What an idiot.
Again... They're still paying Bobby Bonilla.
They just started paying him today. Today was the first day that he's getting his, like, $1.something million
for the next 16 years. I believe he's the second highest paid outfielder in the Mets system right now.
I believe so.
The thing, the hilarious thing about this is that this is all because they didn't want to pay him $5.9 million. So they decided that, you know, instead of paying this thing right now, let's just... Hold that off for another, you know, 13 years, and then we'll pay you for an extra 16 years after that, and you will end up paying, like, four times as much. So that's a good deal.
That's some good GMing right there.
Whoever did that is still the worst GM in baseball.
Steve Phillips.
He's still on ESPN.
But yeah, I mean, listen, I said I'm not the hugest Cashman fan. I think he's done a lot of questionable and terrible moves. But again, results are results. He's gotten us to the postseason for the past almost two decades, so props to him. I'd rather not replace him.
What are the good and the bad of Cashman?
Hmm?
What are the good things that he's done and the bad things that he's done?
Swisher.
Swisher is good.
Swisher's definitely one of the good ones.
Bobby Abreu.
David Justice.
Even though I disliked Bobby Abreu so much.
They still got him for like
not as a player. As a person. I just liked him as a person.
Oh, okay.
As a human being, I just liked him. He was good. He was good for the most part, but I just didn't like him.
Let's talk about Tex Baby mentioned the David Justice thing in that wonderful post. It's like, yeah, that was a great idea. It works.
That was a good idea, but like he's built terrible benches. Like
Austin Kearns.
Oh, that was a
2009.
One.
That was a
2009
one.
Worked out with Eric Kinski, Jerry Hairston.
Yeah,
Jose
that,
Molina.
That worked out, and there was also Kerry Wood for like nothing.
Xavier Nady.
Oh, well, he was good.
He was good
in,
for
like,
his half season before his arm blew up.
And then never good again.
Ever?
No, he wasn't. Like I checked his stats like the other day, and he's like he was never good again after he blew his arm out again. He was like terrible. But yeah, like a lot of the little moves that he makes are like just not good. Like maybe in theory Lance Berkman was good, but Lance Berkman was terrible when he was here.
In theory, the Ichiro deal has worked out for now. We'll see what comes.
I don't think that's his fault. I think that's another Steinbrenner move because he's close to 3,000 hits and blah blah blah.
Again, I always debate who's at fault.
I don't know.
I'm
pretty sure that was Hank, and that's why he's not doing anything anymore. But, like, I don't know how the process worked where it was just, like, give A-Rod 10 years, however many million dollars, and everyone said, okay, fine.
Outbid ourselves. Great strategy.
Yeah. No one advised it at all himself without anybody knowing on a Saturday? We don't know. So, like, you know, things like that, you don't know who's to blame for what, really. I'd like to say it's not Cashman's fault, but I don't know.
I think it's your fault.
Maybe. Probably. Boo me, everybody.
Boo. Damn it, Jason.
Boo.
Just keep booing me and talk about how terrible I am and how
lazy is the problem.
How lazy I am and how the team's never going to win with me. They should just trade me.
You heard him, Waffles.
Trade me to Twinkie Town.
I'll have to see who I can get back.
Prospect. We're rebuilding.
Blogger to be named later.
All right. Should we give a shout out to our Twitter accounts, or would that just be like really self promotional?
No, I don't think so.
No.
How shameless are you? Probably not very.
Oh, I have no shame, none.
Exactly.
You can find me at I'm not a home run hitter on Twitter. That rhymes.
Yay.
Well, I mean, I guess they tell people to, you know, tweet us at the tweet bag.
Pinstripe Bible.
Post comments, you know, all that fun stuff. Tweet us at the tweet bag. Ask us some questions, and maybe if it's your birthday, we'll give you a John Sterling home run call shout out. All right, so for Tanya, Andrew, and Jason, I'm Greg Kirkland saying so long, thanks for listening, and tweet bag us.
Sorry.